Paul Dottino. Jeff Risden now joins us from Real GM. Jeff, we appreciate the time. Draft class, we haven't had a chance to really focus on what's happening today with the workouts. Anything has jumped out to you so far that maybe we've missed while we've been talking to the people out here?
Jumping is the optimal word because Saquon Barkley jumped 41 inches in his vertical leap.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it is. Bo Scarborough just set the combine record for the broad jump for running backs at 232
pounds.
Bo Scarborough,
yes. Huh?
Crazy.
Bigger guy. That's surprising.
232 pounds, and he did, I think it was 11 feet 6 inches.
Did Byron Jones held the last one, if I recall
believe
properly?
So. Yeah. Just ridiculous amount of athleticism amongst the running back class. It's been just stand out with that.
Has Barkley run his 40 yet?
He is not, and there is question whether he will run it or not.
Oh, really?
He might have a medical exemption, and the side part of that is if you do everything else so well as Why would you need to do that?
How could it help
true
him?
Too.
Yeah, there's nothing really for him to gain after what he's done already. He knocked it out of the park in the interview sessions. Had the giant crowd in front of him there and answered every question just the way you wanted to hear it. Very well polished young man. Clearly understands what he's doing here, and with the explosiveness on the vertical jump, my goodness, that's a 41-inch vertical at 228 pounds, something
Ooh,
like
Barkley?
That?
I think he was 232, actually. I mean, if you just look at him at the podium, just the size of his calves.
Yes.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
You know, I remember sitting last year and watching Myles Garrett up there, and he's sitting in his shirt, and it looked like he was flexing just sitting there. You can kind of see that with Barkley, too, just that there's twitch to him just when he's sitting. It's unbelievable.
Jeff, let me ask you something, because it's kind of – Dave Gettleman said the other day that this is like the underwear Olympics, which many teams have used that term over the years for the combine. But yet, when you get an old school guy like Dave Gettleman, who seems to kind of put a little bit less emphasis on the combine, mm-hmm. you also know that there are a lot of other teams who seem to be putting more emphasis on it. You see the attention that is paid to this thing. Where do you really see this going? Is there a trend really in the other direction, or is it still going to be out of control for many years to come?
You know, honestly, I think it's on a team-by-team basis. I think you've got your new school teams. The Browns tried analytics. Didn't necessarily work out for them, but there was, you know, there's that group that are, you know, heck on, you know, do they hit the metrics that I need for length, for vertical jump, for explosive drills, for bench press? And then there are the old-school scouts who are like, I don't really care. I just want to see him play. Can the guy play?
Right.
And it seems to be more of a divide from team to team, sort of on an individual philosophy basis. Gettleman obviously goes into the old school, but there's a lot of the new school, and you see it with the rise of things like Pro Football Focus and Football Outsiders getting more, you know, involved in what's going on in the league. I think they're sort of blending, and I think you're seeing more blending of it, and it's kind of a weird situation for here, because a lot of the old school guys like the combine for the medical evaluation,
yes.
for the ability to get to know the kids, you know, sit down in front of, just even for 15 minutes, you can tell if you click with them personally or not. And I think that's still a big part of it, and that's something that any team can get out of this, even if they don't really care about, you know, how much a guy bench presses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You were listening to us talking to Bob Glauber on the quarterback class. The Giants, who knows if they'll take a quarterback at two. I think they have a lot of options. How do you delineate the top four? Maybe it's for you it's the top five guys in this quarterback class. And which of the group do you think is worthy of the second pick in the draft? As Dave Gettleman said, you want to get a transcendent player at that spot.
Yes, you
do. And what's a good fit with how the Giants operate?
You know, I like Sam Darnold a little bit more than Josh Rosen, just because I think he offers that – the je ne sais quoi, for lack of a better word, of the intangible around him. I think Rosen is a better passer right now.
I agree with that.
But I think Darnold has the ability to do things that Rosen necessarily can't.
Moving, especially.
Yeah, moving out of the pocket. No. I mean, I think Rosen gets dogged a little bit. This guy was an all-state tennis player. You don't get to be an all-state tennis player in California without having good feet.
I didn't realize he was an all-state tennis
okay.
guy. That's interesting.
He's not fast and he's not swift, but he can move around a little bit. So there's I think that narrative gets overplayed a little bit. He's not going to run. He's going to have negative yards. He's not Eli, but he's not much above that either in terms of mobility. Even a young Eli. But I think he would fit very well. And I heard what Bob said, and I agree with him. I think the personality fit with Rosen, I think, would be a good thing for New York. I like the way that he doesn't need to show that he's confident or smart. It just sort of comes out from him. He's not like an outwardly, you know, Darnold has a little bit of flash to him. Lamar Jackson has a little bit of flash to him. Baker Mayfield, my goodness. That might be all there is with
yeah.
him. And I think the more muted style, I think that would be an easier transition from Eli to the next quarterback.
How about the fragility part of the conversation with Rosen, though? Because I think that does scare some people. Two concussions this year, and then he had throwing shoulder. I mean, my goodness, he's a baseball pitcher, quarterback, throwing shoulder. Look at Andrew Luck. You're like, oh, boy.
Yeah, that's a rough thing. And you know, Josh Allen has that, too. He has a steel plate in his shoulder, which I don't think gets talked about enough.
No, that doesn't get talked about.
It doesn't seem to affect the arm strength at all.
No, it doesn't. But
when did he hurt his shoulder? High school?
High school, yeah.
Okay. In fact, maybe he's got a little Steve Austin $6 million man thing going there.
If he said he's going to throw the ball 90 yards at his pro. Last week from midfield, you know, Kyle Bowler 2.0.
Man,
love that stuff.
Man, oh man.
Not sure that it translates to the NFL field that well, but it's pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, that's the one thing. I don't think he wants to hear like the Jamarcus Russell comparison, which Mayock gave him, and then Kyle Bowler probably wants to avoid those.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Josh Allen fan, but back to Rosen first. The concussions are concerning, just because that seems to be there's such a growing awareness of the concussions and what they do and the post football life. And how much it can trouble you after you're done playing. And I think the players themselves are a lot more aware of it than they used to be, and I think they might be – is he going to be subconsciously worried about getting another concussion? You know, is that going to affect his play at all? And you can't really tell that until they get out there, but that is a definite risk with him.
Yeah, you know, first guy I remember at the quarterback spot who was worried about that was Roger Staubach,
yeah.
who retired a bit prematurely because he said he had gotten some concussions and he just didn't like the way that felt. And he got out of the Cowboys, I think, probably 2 or 3 years at least earlier than he could have.
And now he's a billionaire real estate guy, by the way, so it might have been a good move.
Maybe he did jump at the right time. You know, the Houston Texans were dealing with that with their tight end C.J. Fedorowicz. He had 3 concussions last year. There are a lot of people around that organization that are encouraging him to retire, and he's 26 years old. He just signed a $35 million contract a year ago. That's something that I don't think the fans are as aware of how much the players care about the concussions issues as what they do, because it's becoming a much bigger picture issue for him.
Jeff, John asked you about value.
Richburg, if you're losing Justin Pugh, why not? I mean, that's what you need. I wouldn't have a problem with that at all. I think he's the best player in this draft, regardless of position. Productive running backs in that. So I would say probably you would want to lean more. Have a specific guy in mind? Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with that at all. It has to be the right guy for them, and they have to be sure that they wouldn't get him.
Well, it could be one of those linemen.
It very well could be, and that. or seventh round and can come in and help right away.
Wow.
There's some talent down at the bottom of that draft. One of the guys that I like, he's probably not going to like me saying that he could play off the ball linebacker, but a guy like Joe Osman from Central Michigan, he's not even here. 6'2", 249 pounds as a college defensive end. He's trying to make the transition to be an off the ball linebacker who can rush the passer.
Sounds like a 3-4 outside linebacker right?
And he's got the potential to do something like that. There's a lot of fun guys down at the bottom of the draft to definitely keep your eyes on.
I'm writing them down right now. Those are good names. you're the first person to name those two guys for us.
Well, yeah. There you go.
That is true. But I also want to build off another thing that you just said about he was not here. Are there two or three guys that you really like and are so disappointed that they didn't make the trip to Indianapolis for whatever reason?
Yeah, he's one of them. I happen to be, and he does not have an NFL future. I'll preface that. I'm a big Brogan Roback fan, the quarterback from Eastern Michigan. Mm-hmm. The fact that he took that program and got them to a bowl, they had more losses in the last 10 years than any program ever had in 10 years. And he and their coaching staff turned them around. And I'm a bit of a Mac shill, so I'll admit to that.
Okay.
We had a linebacker at Ohio University, my alma mater, Quentin Poling, one of the nation's leader in tackles. I would have liked to seen him here. He didn't make it. He's probably not going to make the NFL either. But it would be nice to see those guys get rewarded. I'm a sucker for the small. Like, yeah, Glauber here talking about Greg Sinnott. There's a guy. I was very impressed with him down at the Shrine Game. I thought he had a very good potential, and I think he's going to get drafted, which out of Wagner. That's awesome.
And spent the first few years of his college career on the basketball floor as a forward.
He only played 2 years for the football team.
Yeah, he has potential. I regret this now. I could have seen him play in person. They played Western Michigan last year. That's where I live.
Yeah.
Didn't go to the game. I didn't think there was any reason to go. Missed out on it.
All right, let's take one call with Jeff before we say goodbye. Oscar in Florida, he joins us. He has a question about the draft for draft. Jeff, what's going on, Oscar? How are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
Go ahead, Oscar.
Hi.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hello? Hey, so my question is, I heard the guy before, he was talking about, or there was two callers that called about trade down with the Bills, and I wanted to talk about that, too. I did, like, a little bit of a research, I guess, on my own end to see what they had picked. Where they had picked in 2010 compared to the other people that we could draft with, like the Jets, Denver, some people have talked about Arizona. But what I've seen, they usually, their average was like 12. So I'm thinking, you know, if we're able to do a trade with them, get 21, 22, possibly number 3 this year, a first or second round next year, I would even try to see if I can squeeze another second rounder in 2020, because who knows, you know, they're probably picking a quarterback if they're trading anyway. I would like to know, do you guys think that's good? Would that be a good haul? I mean, I'm hoping that maybe, you know, Isaiah Wynn, Billy Price, Willie Hernandez will probably be there for that 21 and 22, and then we can get, like, so many more players for the – and I'm thinking for the future, obviously, not just next year. Well, what do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I think it's a good question, Jeff.
It is a good question.
If you do move down to 21 and 22 – with the Bills, what else can you get besides those two?
Yeah, you know, you're out of the market for the top quarterbacks. You could possibly still get Lamar Jackson in that range, and I think he has a very good chance of being there in that range. If you're interested in him, you can still get that. You can definitely get Isaiah Wynn, Will Hernandez, guys like that that can build your offensive line. The first tier of offensive tackles is down there. Connor Williams, who I happen to think he's going to be a guard, but he's going to probably go off in that range. You could address running back if you want to. That's going to be the area where Darius Geis, where Ronald Jones comes off, where Sony Michel could wind up getting. So you could get a pretty good haul out of that.
You know, real quick, go ahead. Besides those two first-round picks, though, in terms of value,
oh, yeah.
Are you getting a one next year? Or are you getting a two? What are you looking at?
You're probably looking at a two. I think the concept of giving up three number one picks for one other one, I think, even if it is number three moving up from 21 to 22, that seems like that would be a little bit too much to give.
Got See, it. Jeff, a lot yeah. of the rumors on the web coming out of Buffalo suggest that the Bills would try to package Cordy Glenn into a deal like that with the Giants because the Giants want offensive linemen. But
that makes sense.
Cordy Glenn has had some injury history, and so are the Giants.
And a also, big cap number.
Yeah,
yes.
So are the Giants better off doing a deal like that for a Glenn, or are they better off just going draft-wise and just getting another lineman?
I would just go draft. Glenn, good player, but like you said, he's got a high cap figure, sort of on the downside a little bit with all the injuries. I would take my chances with a fresh young guy.
Yeah.
Jeff, good stuff, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeff.
Enjoy the rest of the combine. Jeff Risden, Real GM, does a great job.